This is Intersection. I'm Matthew Petty. Brick-and-mortar schools are preparing to reopen, and Orange County teachers are back on campus Friday for students who opted for face-to-face learning. So what are the liabilities for schools if kids or teachers get sick? And what about businesses reopening? Josie Belzac says there's a whole new field of legal practice emerging, pandemic law. Josie Belzac is an attorney and assistant professor in the Department of Social Entrepreneurship at Rollins College. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
What kind of challenges has the pandemic thrown up for an attorney? And I guess, you know, law is such a vast field, but the kind of law that you focus on, what new things are you seeing in the last kind of 4 or 5 months that you maybe had not encountered before the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, I think what I think, to be honest, and I think that probably a lot of people can agree with this, as horrible as a time is that we're currently going through, I believe there are some effective and efficient things that are happening. So, for example, most hearings, so your typical trial lawyer would very often go to court for a 5-10 minute hearing, drive all this time, get there, and now they're able to have all of these hearings via Zoom. Right, just like we're having an interview right now. They're piloting trials via Zoom right now, at least civil trials. Criminal trials have not gone via Zoom. I think there's a lot more at stake, especially people's liberties, you know, when it comes to criminal trials. Client meetings and things are all happening via Zoom. So significant changes are happening, and a lot of continuing legal education classes and things being put on by the Florida Bar and many other people is, you know, how do you practice now in the era of COVID and this, you know, horrible pandemic that we're going through? I do think that, you know, if we are thinking about the practice of law, we were just talking about criminal, and I know we're going to get into a lot of different kinds of lawsuits and things that are on the horizon, but I think something very important, as I just mentioned, you know, criminal trials are not starting, and we have a Sixth Amendment constitutional right to a speedy trial, where a felony trial needs to come within 175 days. Clearly, we've been 5 months at this, right? So this that 6 month time is about to pass. So I believe in the next couple months or before the end of the year, if the trials don't come back, you will start seeing some challenges from criminal defense attorneys for their clients who aren't able, who are stuck in jail, right? With no bond or for whatever reasons they can't get out and they haven't had that speedy trial yet.
Speaking of the Florida Bar and doing things remotely, I mean, there are some challenges to that, right? I mean, the Florida Bar exam was postponed or canceled because of some technical issues, and that is going to cause some problems for those students who were hoping to take that exam and you know, hopefully pass it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you've seen, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but if you go to like the comments of like the Florida Bar, I mean, you can see these future lawyers, right, already making claims about the potential types of lawsuits, perhaps that they're going to file against the Florida Bar, right? I mean, first it was postponed. First it was supposed to be split, right, between like Orlando and Jacksonville and Tampa or what have you. Then they decided to take it online. They then postponed the date from July to August. And then on Sunday night, literally like 48 hours right before all of these students have been, and trust me, I've been there. It's hell for those several months, right? Your whole life stops. And then for the Florida Bar to say, oh, just kidding, we're going to postpone it again, but we don't know when that will be. A lot of people are struggling because they took so much time off work. It's really hard to study for the bar and work at the same time. And so they're feeling as at this moment, they can't continue to take 2 more months or 3 months off of work, you know, to continue to study. And once you're in that prime, it's like, I remember I was the smartest person on earth right before I took the Florida Bar. You know, a couple of weeks later, I became, you know, the dumbest person again. but for that time, right, all this information is in your head. So yeah, I mean, it's just such a struggle. You're seeing states all across the nation completely unsure. What do we do? Do we cancel the bar exam? Do we do it online? What do we do? Do we just let them become lawyers? You know, it's a very, very hectic time. And I think it's just like this era of the unknown, you know, in academia, the fall semester is called planning for flexibility, right? Because we have no idea the uncertainty of things that are coming our way.
Yeah. And speaking of academia, I mean, one of the big challenges that parents who have school aged children right now are facing is, you know, what to do with their kids. We have the option in Orange County, at least, and in many of the counties in Central Florida, to send kids back to school in person. A lot of parents are opting to keep their kids back and have them take those classes online. But, you know, there are going to be some issues there. I'm wondering if you sort of think about it from a legal perspective, what kind of lawsuits could potentially school districts be facing, and what kind of conversations do you think, you know, those school districts' lawyers are having as they plan out this very uncertain future?
Right. I mean, absolutely planning for risks, you know, and I think there's going to be this premise of, God forbid, right, that anything happens, right? Let's hope that, you know, maybe the semester starts fine and, you know, we don't see infection, we don't see spread amongst the students, the staff, the faculty, or the teachers. But if there is spread and infections, you're absolutely going to see the potential for these kind of personal injury negligence lawsuits where parents are saying, you know what, school district, you didn't do enough, right? So these omissions that, you know, you failed to act in a certain way, you had a duty of care, you breached that duty of care, and that caused my child. And then perhaps like the domino effect. I mean, I don't know if we're going to see, you know, perhaps multiple different causes, like my child got sick, then I got sick, then my parent got sick, right? And then some types of lawsuits. Perhaps, I really do see lawsuits, especially when it comes to government. I really believe that government's going to be the culprit of many lawsuits moving forward. And I think part of it's going to be government, you're not doing enough. So it's whether individuals suing government saying you didn't do enough to protect me. Maybe it's local government suing state governments or state government suing federal governments. But I think on the opposite side, which is, ironic, today we're in the primaries, the politics are very polarized. I think on the opposite side, you're also going to see people suing government saying, you're doing too much. You're taking my liberties away, right? You're forcing me to go virtual because some districts chose full virtual, right? So you're forcing me to go virtual, but I have to work. Or you're mandating a mask on me and I don't want to wear a mask. You know, you're mandating a mask on my child and I don't want my child to wear a mask. Or you're already seeing it. Bars saying you're mandating me to close and now I've lost my business. I've lost my rights to property, my rights to bear the fruits of my labor and my life, you know, those types of things. So I really do see it coming from you're doing too much or you're doing not enough, which I believe is the beautiful thing about law. It's so gray, it's black and white. It's really the epitome of there's two sides to every story.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining me, my guest is Josephine Bolzac. She is assistant professor in the Department of Social Entrepreneurship at Rollins College. We're talking about law and the pandemic. Do you see a specific kind of law that's just pandemic related emerging? Is this going to be something that future students of law will study and be proficient in a few years, do you think?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I think, you know, law has to be flexible. I mean, our founding fathers didn't imagine having to make laws on technology. Law has to be adaptive. I really believe stagnant water bears disease. And this is a new era for us. It's unprecedented. And when it comes to case law, which is how the judiciary, you know, decisions coming down from the courts, is based on looking back through the doctrine of stare decisis of like, what are past cases? How have they dealt with this? And we don't have any precedent necessarily in this area. So I feel from, oh man, you ready for me to go down this rabbit hole?
Sure, let's do it.
So one thing I really absolutely believe you're going to have coronavirus exposure, like injury law, right? And so, well, a lot of people sadly like to call a lot of these personal injury attorneys ambulance chasers. Well, they're already advertising out there coronavirus exposure. Have you been to a restaurant where you got exposed? Have you been to a retail store?
So, are you seeing the billboards on the highway now? Or are you expecting to?
Yeah, I'm sure we will start seeing. And I the other day saw a commercial for COVID lawyers. And they were specifically though for businesses, right? So I think in areas of insurance too, like businesses, you get hurricane insurance or all these kinds of insurances, but what kind of insurance do we have like when there's a pandemic that then stops my business? Are these businesses gonna try to make claims? What are we gonna see responding from that? I think a huge area relevant to the coronavirus exposure are going to be nursing homes and assisted living facilities. Over 40% of the deaths in the US come from these long-term care facilities. And in over 18 states, more than 50% of the deaths are coming from that. So you're going to see tons of lawsuits there. You're already seeing lawsuits with hotels, with airlines, with cruise lines. Remember, attorneys are always going to go after that deep pocket. Where can you get the most money? One interesting area, which I don't think a lot of people think about, is breach of contracts. So I have an obligation under a contract to perform a certain duty, but now COVID came and I'm claiming it's impossible for me to perform. Because a lot of contracts have these what are called force majeure clause that are quote unquote acts of God. So are courts gonna say, yeah, actually that is an impossible defense that you can claim? We don't know, right? So I think a lot of these, the areas that I was talking about previously with the criminal aspects of things, all the entire legal community is already talking about this new area of law that's going to be called pandemic law. And I think that's more prone if this pandemic stays for a long time.
You talk about lawyers going after people with deep pockets, but some of those pockets aren't going to be so deep because we are in the midst of a pretty serious recession, right? I mean, it's not just governments, but also businesses are having to look at how to cut costs and, force, faced with layoffs because of the parlous state of the economy. So is that going to put the skids on some of these lawsuits?
Absolutely, I think so. What will happen is if these businesses feel threatened in terms of their economic situation, they're going to file for bankruptcy. And whenever they file for bankruptcy, then you have stays, right? So all kind of legal proceedings will stay the process. So yeah, I think that's going to be a lot of people don't understand that you could have a great claim, you could sue, you could win. The jury could say, hey, you're going to be awarded $5 million. The problem is going to be collecting that money. So I think that's where you're going to see a lot of the challenges for sure.
What about companies and their rights and responsibilities when it comes to getting people back to work? Because we've talked about educational facilities, universities, schools, but businesses too are figuring out how to move forward in this new remote work environment. Some businesses, it's tough for them to be completely remote because of the nature of their work. Some of them are also trying to figure out, how to make it fair for different employees. So how does that get navigated, and what are some of the risks that businesses might face if people have to go back into the office and then they're saying there's a risk of exposure to this pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you're going to see definitely a rise in workers' compensation lawsuits where, employees are getting hurt on the job. And you're going to also start to see a new area of pandemic law within human resources, right? What are the appropriate steps if somebody gets sick, do we shut down? Do we quarantine that person? And then, you know, depending on the steps that the employers are taking is going to be determinant of whether or not, you know, someone says, hey, you didn't do enough. You knew so-and-so was sick, but never revealed that information to me. So yeah, I mean, I think that it's a really tricky time. You know, you need people to come back to work. You know, we need our economy to thrive. But then you also have, you know, the significant risk of people getting injured and hurt and the type of implications that that's going to have on businesses. So, you know, I really feel bad for all these people having to make these really tough decisions because it's almost like they're stuck between a rock and a hard place and they have no direction because we've never been here before.
If you're just joining me, my guest is Josie Belzac. She's an assistant professor in the Department of Social Entrepreneurship at Rollins College and an attorney. Let's talk about the teaching that you do at Rollins College. The field of social entrepreneurship, is that changing dramatically because of the pandemic? And do you see some of the changes coming about sticking around long term?
I think so. I think what was so incredible is how we really saw businesses respond during this pandemic, where you had breweries all of a sudden creating, you know, hand sanitizers, and different companies, maybe they did anything with fashion, started, you know, making masks. And then, so I think that we were already moving to a recognition where people and society and consumers want businesses to do good. We want them to give to social causes. Look at what happened during Black Lives Matter movement and all the hundreds and millions of dollars that were given to all of these amazing nonprofit organizations. And during COVID as well, big, huge companies giving hundreds and millions of dollars in either actual product or services or just straight up cash. So I do think that because businesses recognize that consumers want them to do good, whether they're doing it out of, you know, good intent or because it's kind of like a greenwash, we are starting to see businesses move in that direction. And I think because, you know, when we have so many different problems in the world and we recognize that government can't fix them all, Dr. Fauci was just, you know, interviewed by U.S. Chamber of Commerce and basically said that there's no way that we can't solve this crisis without the private sector. We need them to make the vaccines. We need them to make all of these things, right? So I do really think that we're going to start seeing businesses do more good, hopefully. I'm an eternal optimist, so I'm thinking positive here.
Josephine Belzac is an attorney and an assistant professor in the Department of Social Entrepreneurship at Rollins College. We've been talking about law and the pandemic. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It really has been a pleasure to be on the show with you this morning.
Support for Intersection comes from Advent Health and from our listeners. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can find us online at wmfe.org/intersection. When you donate right now to support WMFE, you're making all the news and information you rely on available for everybody free of charge. That service is as important today as ever, and it starts with your gift. Visit wmfe.org to make your contribution. And thanks. I'm Matthew Petty. Thanks for listening.